Yes, Frank Cifuentes reading a story, Canicas, Con Canicas Tio, Christmas 1947. When I grew up in Las Vecindades at East Austin, the word canicas, which literally means marbles, had a special meaning to us young Chicanos. It was a pachuquismo, meaning puppy love, being infatuated, having a crush, or just plain being in love. When it was strongly felt, we'd say, ando encanicado de máquina, I'm crazy in love, or I've become a love machine. It became easy for me to make a strong connection between canicas and being in love. During my early childhood and adolescence, I developed a passionate love for marbles. Nothing seemed more beautiful than marbles with their multiple colors, variety of sizes, or sounded more appealing than the joyful and clicking, jingling sounds of marbles, especially when one ran it with a pocket full of them. I was so enraptured with them that during the Christmas night when I was 10 years old, I remember staying up all night lusting for several sacks of them. I was so fascinated by the feeling of possessing large quantity of marbles, I even started imagining that the trees were filled with them, and that when I ran out of them, after losing them in competition to Bobby Mesereau, Victor Sanchez, and Luis Lopez, all I had to do was make a hole in a large oak tree for it to yield a few thousand marbles of every size and color. I was happy when I had canicas. Similarly, when I was a budding adolescent and became a teenager, I was most alive when I had canicas for one of the ever-budding chulas from the Vecindades. In 1947, Romanticism flourished in Austin. It was inspired by the stars of the Milky Way, the ever-present towers of artificial moonlight, the electric lights surrounding El Capitolio, and the University of Texas Tower at night, made more urgent by the powerful infusion of hormones. Love and romance was transmitted by the voice of Pedro Infante, Jorge Negrete, Pedro Vargas, Los Tres Haces, Los Tres Panchos, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, Hank Williams, and Lefty Frizzell. Most of all, the idea of love came from the movies, both from Mexico and Hollywood. I was hanging around quite a bit at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church, which had swings, seesaws, space for ball games. Father Green organized social activities at the church. He was an Irish priest from Chicago who belonged to the Order of Oblate Priests. He was a tall man and used his height to throw a great hook shot playing basketball. He was a chain smoker who took pride in being able to give it up for Lent 40 days every year and was clearly the best penance that he could do. As always, he returned with relish to being a heavy smoker the day after Easter. Smoking was a way of saying that even priests are imperfect. Just about everyone loved Father Green. He brought fun and joy to Catholicism. He was a great facilitator of play and social interaction between youth, and many couples came together as a result. Father Green established a social hall where we could hear music and dance to our heart's content, and he was constantly present to guide us and to have fun with us. His constant smile, his teasing, and capacity to engage us in conversation and games was wonderful. He made us feel loved. He didn't make the priesthood into something moody, introspective, and mystical. He told everyone that he got the calling to become a priest when he was told that they had a swimming pool at the seminar. I remember how uncomfortable Father Green got when he was saying Mass in Latin or preaching a sermon in Spanish. He never could get the accents right and always had a worried look on his face, knowing, I suppose, that he wasn't being understood. He felt ill at ease with Father Diaz because he was always scolding him and exasperated by him because he didn't understand his behavior. And little wonder, Father Green's mission was to enhance our social and intellectual life. Father Diaz's mission was to make us fully aware of our horrible capacity for sinful behavior. I became one of the many youth from the East Side that benefited from Father Green's influence. He quickly recognized I had a real love and some talent for singing, and he recruited me for the Christmas choir. We started practicing shortly after Thanksgiving, and that's when I met Connie Castillo. She was less than 5 feet tall. She had a poor posture, yet she was beautiful with her light brown hair and painfully shy, light brown eyes. She was a wet awitinche. Just being close to her sent my heart fluttering with canicas. Lacani, however, was hardcore hard to get. As we danced at the church hall, she'd push me away when I tried to do a cheek-to-cheek movida. But when I asked her to go with me to the movies, she said maybe, which in those days was the same as a yes. I went to pick Connie up in front of her house on 12th Street, where she lived with her mother and brother. They had converted the living room into a dining room and started a Mexican restaurant. We walked west to the Capitolio, where we looked around and saw lots of couples holding hands, and it gave me courage to attempt to hold her hand. We were a real match, all right, and we felt those wonderful currents and that inspire passion. But the feeling frightened her, and she kept pulling her hand away while laughing as if embarrassed. When I tried to get a hold of her hand again, she started hitting me on the arm while I swooned with all the attention that she was giving me. The play intensified, and soon she was pinching and scratching, and we were having great fun. Finally, we made it to the Paramount Theater, where we got engrossed in movie, holding hands quietly. On the way home, on the all-mail bus, it seemed like we had gelled into a couple. She held my hands tight, and I looked fully into her eyes. And with a pencil, I wrote on the bus, Frank Guncani, C.S. After getting off the bus on 6th and Waller, we walked silently towards our home. Having run out of games and did not know how to express what we were feeling, we were not the slightest doubt in my mind. I had canicas for her badly. I had been working at the time as a busboy at Stephen F. Austin Hotel, earning 25 cents an hour plus tips from the waitresses, so I had spending money. And because I was so crazy about Connie, I decided to lay away a gold chain necklace with a medalla of Our Lady Guadalupe to give to her for Christmas. It was clearly the most money I had ever spent on anything. Christmas night came, and our Christmas carol choir was a big success. We filled everyone, especially ourselves, with the spirit of the birth of Jesus, singing the Mass in Latin and with a good section of Christmas songs. After La Misa de Gallo, we went Christmas caroling throughout the surrounding area of the church. Connie, however, refused to let herself be seen holding my hand, but I didn't care. Just being with her was enough. We Christmas carolers ended up at Connie's mother's house to have cookies and chocolate, and I waited until just about the time we broke up to hand her the gift that I had gotten her. Christmas passed, and somehow I was never able to visit her to find out if she was happy to get my gifts. The only thing I clearly remember was that a few nights later, when I was heading home on East 7th, I ran into Benny Torres, who was a friend of mine, home on leave from the U.S. Navy. Benny was what we called in those days un vato muy de aquellas, a really, really nice guy. He had three sisters who were all chulas. His best friend was Paul Castillo, Connie's brother, and he had been on his way to their place. I noticed to my total astonishment that he had around his neck a gold chain and medalla that I had given Connie for Christmas, that I had paid my hard-earned money for. I asked him about it, and he told me that he had taken it away from Connie. That's when my canicas for Connie suddenly went down the drain.